So I come to you today from the Chester River, which is the upper shore, and I was invited to tell a tale of the tide, so, you know, here's mine. So I got my first boat in 1988. I got a little tipsy at a Labor Day picnic and decided to buy a 13-foot aluminum runabout with a 30-horsepower Johnson motor. I didn't know anything about boating, nothing. In those days, there was no Coast Guard requirement that you take a course, which, by the way, I highly recommend, but they didn't require it back then. I learned everything I know about boating by trial and error, and I have to say mostly by error. So I learned, how to pour Coca-Cola on the battery terminals when the boat wouldn't start. I learned how to disengage a crab pot from my propeller. I learned how to get out and push when my boat ran aground, and because I live upriver of the Chester River Bridge where the water's not very deep, that happened a lot. And I also learned that the gas gauge on a boat never works. And not only does it never work, the needle is always stuck at 3/4 of a tank. Like, why couldn't it be stuck on zero? You know, that would be fair. But it took me the longest time to figure out that, no, I did not have any gas. And so I discovered the joy of drifting. And to drift on the Chester is to just turn off the motor, raise it, and let the river take you where the river wants you to go. It's just a great way to discover things that you didn't know that you needed to discover. And I had the experience of meeting shoulder to shoulder with a mama osprey who was sitting on a nest on a channel marker. I had the experience of discovering hidden duck blinds with a whole litter of liquor bottles around them. I, at one point, floated over a whole rock pile that you could never do with your prop down and saw that it was teeming with fish of all sizes, all kinds, because fish love rocks. Who knew? I also was floating by a ledge that had fossils. And it was a prehistoric panorama of ancient sea critters who actually, before there was a river, when there was no bank, that's when they were hanging out there. So it's amazing the things that you can find on any river if you don't have a destination. So that seemed to be important for me, and I took that to heart and spent a lot of time drifting. One of the things, though, that you will discover when you don't have forward momentum is that the tide that's rising so gracefully around your boat might also, as in my case, be rising inside your boat. One thing I didn't know about aluminum boats is that rivets can leak. So then, again, with no motor to interfere, you can actually hear your own heartbeat as you're wondering if anyone will happen by with some gas or to give you a tow before you completely submerge. So that was the end of my first boat. Which had been named because I was, at that time in my life, suddenly single. That boat was called the No Boys Allowed. So from there I moved to the No Boys Allowed 2 and the No Boys Allowed 3, and I had a tradition of boating with two women friends. Chris and Lisa used to reach out and say, I need a boat ride. We need a trip. So we would load up a cooler and some snacks and get on the No Boys Allowed 2 or 3, as the case may be, and we would roar down the river for like 3 or 4 miles under full power, and we got to a really wide open spot in the river. We would cut the motor, and we called that place International Waters. And the idea of being on international waters was that we were completely free of any of the constraints of our land lives, and therefore, we could tell each other things that needed to be said without any kind of judgment, without any fear that whatever happened on international waters would leave international waters. So we did a lot of complaining, we did some crying, and we did a lot of laughing. And on this particular night that I remember so well, it was an absolutely gorgeous night with that beautiful last light that was making the champagne that we were drinking sparkle. And I noticed that it was sparkling with the exact same colors of my friend Chris's blonde hair. and we opened another bottle of champagne. And we were drifting, but I noticed we were still somewhere in the channel, so I wasn't too worried about that. And we just got to laughing and talking and snacking and sipping champagne. And a couple of hours went by before we looked up and realized that we were back at the Chester River Bridge. We didn't know how we got there. We weren't aware of it. We were floating right under that bridge, and lo and behold, we're practically hand-delivered back to the very dock we had left a couple hours earlier. Was it the tide, the winds, the current? We decided it was River Angels. And so we had been safely carried back home at the end of a beautiful night without a drop of gas wasted, and we've never forgotten that night. What we didn't know about that night is that it would be Chris's last boat ride. A couple of months later, way too young, she left this world, taking her sparkle with her. And those River Angels, I've never been able to forget that hopefully they took her wherever she needed to go next. But many years passed after that. And at this point, another friend of mine, this time a guy who was an expert sailor, he was a sailboat racer, world class, he knew everything about the wind and the tide and the currents that I didn't know. But he too was leaving the world too soon. And I wanted to say a prayer for him, but I wasn't sure which God would be appropriate. And all I could think about was this river that seemed to serve, the expert boater, the sailor, the drifter, the drinker, the poet. And I started to write a poem. And the experience of writing a poem that comes to you like out of the blue, all of a piece, like it wrote itself, was so unusual to me. I never changed a word. I just thought it was another gift from the River Angels. So I want to read that poem now. Why the river? Because it is a body. Because it rises in our sweat, marries our breath to the cold. Because it spills light back to us and hoards our shadows. Because it leaves when gravity insists, but it always comes back. Because it traps the clouds, so we can sail across both heaven and earth. Because it carries our tears, swells with our salt. Because it is a body. Because it bears our weight. Thank you.